Well, the Perth Festival still has 1 week to run. I took you there a couple of weeks ago. Let's check in with what's been happening since with Humphrey Bauer. Humphrey is a skilled theatre maker. He's an opera buff and he's a hugely insightful blogger on matters theatrical. Humphrey, welcome as you join us there from Perth.
Hello, Michael.
Let's talk about Wendy Martin. She's the director of the festival. She started in 2016. This is her last festival. What's it all added up to, do you think?
Well, I think it's been a fantastic 4 years. I'm a little biased, I have to say, because I've been involved. Last year, I was the festival navigator, which got me seeing everything and blogging. And this year, I did perform in one of the shows. But I think Wendy has a fantastic kind of vision, actually. She knows what she loves. She programs what she loves. She has a really strong passion for kind of community-based and location-based work. She's very passionate about the region itself, about the Southwest, and cultivating local artists and groups. And she also programs some really interesting kind of cutting-edge international work.
Let's talk about some local work first. You've seen the new Australian opera, Ned Kelly, and it's always exciting when someone tries to write an Australian opera or musical. And we met the principals when we broadcast from the Perth Festival a couple of weeks ago, Humphrey. Music by Luke Stiles on this one. The words are by Peter Goldsworthy, a well-known man of letters. And I was very hopeful this would turn out well.
Yeah, I was too. And I think as an opera, it's a really interesting work. I think Peter's libretto is very witty and playful and potentially does a bit of, you know, healthy revisionist history. And I think Luke's score is also interesting, eclectic, and uses a kind of mixture of kind of bush ballads and also some, you know, Britten-Berg-style modernist opera. But I think that the opera is really let down by the production and particularly by the location.
So we're in an old abandoned sawmill, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. We're in an old abandoned sawmill, which means it's a huge space and the acoustics are problematic to say the least. And there were no surtitles. So I actually asked for a copy of the libretto afterwards because I couldn't hear more than about 20% of it. And it wasn't the fault of the singers, who were great, but the work just could not reach me. And I felt like the location was a little bit irrelevant, to be honest, too. I felt like, you know, okay, this is bush and heritage perhaps, but there's no real connection between Ned Kelly and a sawmill. And really the work belonged in a pub, if anything, or a theatre. But what the libretto had done, which I thought was really clever, was set the action in the three pubs where Kelly held hostages and wrote the jewellery letter. And, you know, I thought that was a great idea and a great opportunity for location and audience interaction, especially if they'd put us in the space.
You've said some things about the interpretation of Kelly himself, because it's a kind of sentimental pro-Kelly view.
Well, look, I think Peter has a good go at keeping it open, and it's a little bit like Kurosawa's Rashomon. You've kind of got different perspectives on what happened because there's so much debate about who was Kelly, what were his intentions, what really happened when his mum was arrested, you know, what really happened when the police were shot. And that is in the opera. You hear different versions. So that is very healthy and open. I did feel overall the work and the production got a bit stuck in the quagmire of sentimentality, which I think is a tendency in Australian work and Australian culture. You know, we like to look back fondly on this kind of bogan hero who failed and was a bit of an Irish battler, and, you know, there's a whole other perspective on him potentially being a bit of a psychopath and a terrorist, which is there kind of in the opera, but I felt the work did get a bit stuck in that sentimental image of Kelly.
Let's move on. Five Short Blasts. You like this one?
I did like this one. This was my favourite work in the festival, actually. And in terms of that strand of Wendy's work that is about community and location, I thought it was a really strong, well-thought-out work.
So this is a boat trip created by those fabulous and very inventive musicians, Madeline Flynn and Tim Humphrey and some others.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're more than musicians. They make public art, and For sure, music and soundscape is a crucial part of this
work. So what is it, Humphrey?
Well, like you said, Michael, it's a boat trip. They've commissioned a flotilla of 10 little boats, which have actually been constructed for this iteration of the work here in Fremantle. They've been here for about a year. Wendy saw the work, I think, first. It was originally done in Melbourne, and then it's been done in Hamburg and in Prague. She saw it in Hamburg and commissioned it for here. So they've spent a year here researching, interviewing people for the soundscape from, you know, traditional custodians, Noongar elders, through to the harbour master, people who live and work on the river and the port. But the experience is you arrive early in the morning. You either arrive at dawn or at 7:15, or there's one at dusk. And for an hour and a half, you're in this little boat. I think they call them power kittens. They've built them here and bequeathed them to us for future use.
We all want a power kitten. Everybody's
saying. We've all wanted a power kitten all our lives, Michael. For an hour and a half, you're in one. And I was there just with one other passenger, actually, which was a real privilege. I think they take up to four people each. And you go up the river, you know, away from the sea at first, and the initial part of the soundscape is more connected with that landscape. And then you turn around and you head downriver and you end up actually in the harbour, the working harbour, surrounded by container ships, which is really thrilling, especially for someone like me who's lived in Fremantle for 15 years and looked at these cranes and ships and containers, but I've never actually been in the thick of it. So that was thrilling. And the soundscape, if I can call it that, which is a kind of a mosaic of voices, interviews and writings, and also a kind of musical score, which is based on actual sounds. I mean, I asked at the end, I said that, you know, basically there was like a drone that the whole thing's based on. And I said, like, what key was that in? And Madeline Flynn, who was there, said, oh, it's in the key of D, and it's based on a sound inside one of the ships that Tim Humphrey was recording and heard the sound of water pouring out of one of the ships and the kind of echoing in the hold. And he kind of based the whole thing on that. So it's very, it's beautifully organic and I think deeply moving. There are little interventions on the bank as well as you travel along. There are people, there's the odd person playing a trombone which echoes under the bridge. You might see someone kind of standing on the rocks, and it's quite hard to tell, as with good immersive theatre, what's staged and what isn't, because then you'll see, you know, a woman walking her dog or some kids, you know, diving off the rocks into the river for an early morning swim. But all of it is so beautifully framed by the experience.
I love the idea of water in the key of D. That really appeals to me. Briefly, any recommendations?
Well, I would certainly recommend that show to anyone who can see it and who's here, and that's still running till the end of this week. You know, that's a really unique and kind of low-flying experience in a way. You know, it's not a high-end international artist, you know, like Barry Kosky, or I mean, there are many works like that, but I think this is really a show not to be missed.
All right. So the Barry Kosky's The Magic Flute, which I'm really looking forward to catching up in Adelaide. You've seen it there in Perth. This is the famous Berlin production by your old chum Barry Kosky. Have you seen it before?
No. This is the first time I've seen this production. It's been around for a bit. I mean, it's actually a co-production between Barry and the Cornish Opera, where he's intendant or artistic director, and a British company called 1927, who you might have seen at the Malthouse some years ago. They had a show called Between the Devil and the Deep Blue Sea, which came to the Malthouse.
So they put animations up on a screen and the actors interact with them, and I'm really looking forward to that. I just want to move on before we stop, Barry, to talking about Ian Grandage, who's taking over as the director next time. Mm-hmm. What are we expecting from him? He's a musical director, he's a cellist, he's a composer.
Yeah. I mean, Ian is a friend of mine. He's from Perth. He's Perth born and bred. Although he's obviously also worked around the country and in Melbourne quite a lot, I think, when Michael Cantor was at the Malthouse particularly. He's moved back here. I think it's very exciting having someone local and someone who is an artist. I think festivals are always exciting, like the Adelaide Festival when Barry was artistic director, was a kind of, you know, thrilling breakout festival we can probably all remember, those of us who are old enough to remember. And so I think there are high hopes for Ian, you know, as a local boy, as an artist, as a composer who's worked a lot in theatre as well.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Humphrey, you're not old. You're a power kitten.
We're all power
kittens. Oh, power, yeah, power cat.
Power, old power toms, Michael.
Yeah, Wynn. That's the way. Oh, we could have our own show, Power Toms.
Power Toms.
Humphrey, yeah. Thank you for coming on board. It's been lovely to chat.
Thanks, Michael.
On the stage show, the very talented Humphrey Bauer, Power Tom, with his thoughts on the Perth Festival. Now in its final week, you'll find Humphrey's beautifully written reflections on other Perth events on his blog site. Very easy to find. Just search for Humphrey Bauer.